knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Scott Reeder, bass player extraordinaire. He is the bass player supreme. You know him from Caius, you know him from The Obsessed, and of course, you now know him from Fireball Ministry. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm great. It's early in the morning over here in Banning, California. But it's a beautiful day, and this is a great way to start it.
This is a great episode. It's season 3, episode 12, The Party's Over. It aired December 5th, 1978, directed by Dave Powers, written by Don Nickel, Mitchell Ross, and Bernie West. The kids throw a party against Mr. Roper's wishes, but Mr. Roper sabotages it, telling everyone the party's canceled. Mrs. Roper leaves him, and Stanley gets depressed. Scott, what'd you think of The Party's Over?
It was kind of uneventful.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. More, please.
But it was entertaining. But man, what a party pooper that guy is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad that his wife wants nothing more than to party, and she's all over it.
Yeah. Mrs. Roper was, she was very young at heart. She was really down with the kids.
Yeah. I don't think she needed to leave poor Stanley, but
that was awesome. I mean, she's done just because of this party. It's quite interesting how I kind of think Mr. Roper did like equal amounts of crap to her that she stayed with him over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting. She used that to leave him.
Yeah. Like it had been building up for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True. I mean, it wasn't a surprise when, you know, I bet everyone collectively said finally when she left him.
Yeah. It's crazy. In these days, they could have, I don't know, Jack could have got Stanley stoned or something. Dude, chill out. Come and enjoy the party.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. And plus, I my first thought was, wow, so this was the world before the internet. Because you could easily text someone or call someone and just go, what are you doing? Why is the party canceled? Or where are you?
Yeah. No cell phones in those days. You couldn't just call from the driveway. Dude, what's up?
Yeah. Like this old guy told me it's canceled. Your dad told me it's canceled. Yeah. It's interesting how much we've come to rely on all these gadgets.
Yeah.
One thing I noted was the music that they were playing, getting ready to welcome all their guests, was some supremely terrible generic elevator disco.
Oh, man.
Man.
1978.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have money to license an actual popular song of the day. So I wonder where they got that kind of piece of music, but it told me that the kids were disco dance. They were into disco, I guess, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, one of the episodes I watched, it was in The Crush. They brought up, oh, you want to listen to Peter Frampton's new album?
Yeah.
But yeah, then this horrible disco comes on. What?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, like, because they're supposed to be like the young, hip kids, even though to me, watching it even today, I still think of them as, I look at them and I think they're older than me. But they're supposed to be, I think it was like the equivalent of like what Friends was in the 90s, like a hip young show for, you know, the youth, you know, and usually you lead with, you know, pop culture references, like, well, what's your favorite band to identify people? And that's something that I noted with Three's Company. It didn't really delegate the three kids into like subculture categories. Like So this elevator disco music was all I had, and of course Jack's Beatles picture in his bedroom, but
right,
you can say everyone loves the Beatles kind of thing, you know, so
pretty much.
Yeah. So that it was interesting. But I liked it just because you get to see another side of Stanley Roper. Like, you get to see the vulnerable kind of side of him.
Yeah, that's cool.
He was super, I don't know. He just kind of let it all hang out, you know.
He was pining away for his wife.
And we don't really see that. Like, for the whole series, we see him running away from her.
Yeah.
And man, that guy is a mess without her.
Yep. I know how it is when I mean, I've been married for over 30 years now.
Wow.
And
congrats.
That's your other half. Right. I don't like being gone for 2 weeks these days.
Right, right.
Something's missing, and boy, maybe that took Stanley to miss her for a couple of days to really realize what he had.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and then she's got him in bed after that. He needs a day off.
Yeah, it's funny how he turns to birds as soon as his wife is gone, which is like, whoa, dude, you're going off the deep end already. But yeah, that was an interesting thing. Like, even though, you know, he finally gets his wife back, his life is slowly starting to get back to normal. He still, like, is, you know, he still doesn't want to go into the bedroom with her.
Yeah.
And of course, dude, there's that theory that Mr. Roper is secretly gay, but I don't know.
Yeah, he kind of flirts with Jack now and then. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny when Mrs. Roper runs into the pet store lady. She's all, nothing happened. She's all, I know.
Yeah, that's right. She doesn't even suspect anything.
Yeah, no worries.
And yeah, that was Mrs. Hollins, the parakeet pet shop woman. And that's another thing, is like, who from a pet shop would make a house call? Like, it's weird, but
yeah. I looked her up, Diana Herbert, and God, she was in a bunch of great 70s shows too. Ghost and Mrs. Muir, Flying Nun, maybe late 60s.
Mm.
That Girl, Policewoman.
Wow.
I have a note, 89. Maybe she must have passed away at age 89. So,
wow.
A long, long, successful career.
That's another thing about, like, Three's Company. Like, now we can look back on a lot of the guest stars, guest people were, even though they weren't, like, there was a couple that, you know, won Golden Globe Awards or had their own TV shows or whatever. But even the supporting characters, the bit part players, their resumes are long and extensive and really cool.
Yeah. Great actors in there.
Yeah, it's a definite reflection of just, you know, how amazing Three's Company was for, you know, just television history, where it stood and who went through the series, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah. So, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, my wife and I were renting a house in Palm Springs, maybe 10 years ago, and we spent a lot of time down there during the winter. We were neighbors with Suzanne Summers. We were up in the Mesa, Palm Springs, kind of up in the hills. And out of all the time that we spent there, we saw her one time. She was cruising down the road in a golf cart, and we just waved. She waved. But that was pretty cool.
That is supremely cool, Scott. Did you know if it was like her main house, or was it like a vacation house, or
I believe that was her main house. It was a huge property,
right?
Just sprawling on the hillside. I think there was a funicular that would go up and down the hillside, maybe down to the pool area. I don't know. We never got to see the property.
Right. Right.
But it was huge. I think she just put it up for sale recently.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you were, I don't even know how I'd be able to contain myself if I was in your shoes.
Man, I couldn't believe that we got that house. It was really cheap. It was owned by this older guy, and I don't think he was aware of current market values or cared. We met with him. It turned out he went to school with my father-in-law, and he gave us this house really super cheap. And man, we partied. We had friends coming out for Coachella Festival, and just we partied in that place for a year and had the best time.
And Suzanne was cool with it.
Oh yeah.
And
she would have big events at her house. I remember events going on at her place with valet parkers and,
right,
you know, big charity fundraisers and stuff.
Right. Wow. Wow. So, that's so cool.
She was cool. We were cool with that. So she was cool with our thing. It's all good.
Oh, that's so cool, man. Like, I mean, you know, she wasn't my favorite, like, third roommate of the series, although, you know, her role in the show is undeniable, and I'll always love Suzanne Summers for it.
Yep.
And to be that close to her, I mean, Jesus. I guess if you had, like, you know, shown how much of a fan you guys were, she might have been turned off. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I should keep my cool if I was in that position.
Yeah. It's all good.
But you know what? I would, nah, fuck it, man. I would walk up with my DVDs and go, look, Suzanne, you got to sign this, man.
Knock on her door.
While I'm knocking, I'll be like, I can't believe I'm knocking on her door.
Yeah. She's been waiting for you.
She's been waiting. Well, that's cool, man. Scott, what a way to end our 3-week stint here on the Regal Beagle podcast.
Series.
You are cool. You lived next door to a Regal Beagler.
Crazy.
But thanks a lot, Scott, for this. And man, come on back. You know, this the podcast is a very long game we're playing here in the podcast world. So please knock on our door again. The door awesome. Is always open.
Thank you.